Welcome to AmiSites, a podcast that offers you access to thought leaders who can help you expand your entrepreneurial toolbox. Learn from seasoned entrepreneurs who have already walked in your shoes and can help you with your day-to-day business decisions. Join the founder and CEO of Multifunding, Ami Kassar, and his co-host, Lynn Ozer, the president of Multifunding, aka the SBA Queen, as they help you navigate, grow, and stay in control of your business.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next edition of AmiSites. I'm here as your host, Ami Kassar, along with my co-host, Lynn Ozer, aka SBA Queen. So excited to have my friend Jana Frecklin on the session today. Jana is a president of the EO St. Louis chapter, and amongst many accolades, the newest founder of her newest company called CEO Concierge that she's going to tell us all about, along with her whole fascinating history and background. Jana, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm so glad you could come here because I read your background. I don't know how you have any time to fit us in. You do so much. But that's what they say. People who do a lot can just keep doing more. I can't wait to hear how this all came about. So where should she start, Ami?
You tell us. Jana, what's up? What are you up to these days?
What am I up to these days? I am kind of crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's something new. Okay. Let's get that.
Like you, I'm crazy, right? You know, I got bored. So I started another company. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So, you know, currently I still own the Jimmy John's franchise. I have four in St. Louis, Missouri. We are building our fifth store and we're actually moving an existing store. And so a lot of growth potential. They're doing great. They're up 10% over last year, which is awesome given the economy. And I still own my hair salon. So those are still struggling. COVID really did a doozy on those guys. I think that whole pattern in beauty has definitely changed. And then this past year, a EO Las Vegas member and I launched a new company called CEO Concierge. And it is a virtual assistant company that focuses on CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners, because that is the hat I wear. And we know that we like to be perfectionists and we want to keep going and going and going. We expect everyone to get on our train and join us. But a lot of times we like to leave people in the dust. So one of the things, the best thing I've done in my business in the last 3 years was bring on a virtual assistant in every company to help me run efficiently so I can do the things that I am good at. And the things that I am not good at, my virtual assistant handles for me. And so I think it's a very big opportunity, and especially after COVID, when everyone started going remote and businesses and employees have not gone back into their actual location, that it's very doable to have a remote worker now. And so we launched it based on our experiences, and it's very client focused, and we're taking our time. It's a passion project for me. It's a very big passion project and I'm enjoying it a lot. But otherwise than that, I have a 16-year-old junior so we're starting to look at colleges, which is a whole nother career that someone, you know, that's a whole big industry. I know you're familiar with it. And then I have a 12-year-old who's knee deep in hockey right now. So it's great. My husband is my business partner in my Jimmy John's and the hair salons, but he stays out of my hair.
I have a question for the CEO Concierge business. Mm-hmm. How do you find qualified individuals? A virtual assistant is a pretty intimate relationship with the CEO. So how do you qualify people to do that?
So we have a lot of criteria in place to weed out the applicants that are not, you know, are not going to be that person. We do a personality test. We do any type of Microsoft Office assessments we do, because they have to be superior in Excel and any documentation they are doing. And we really have a long interview process. So we go out and we find the specific virtual assistant that the client's looking for. We don't have a bucket of virtual assistants just sitting around. So if I have a client who needs a bookkeeper and to help with payroll and to help with calendar management and invoicing and all things finance, we're going to specifically go out and look for that person and weed out anyone that doesn't have that. And so we do an initial interview, and then we do a placement interview, and then Raina or I do the final interviews. So we get three different perspectives because it's three different people interviewing. But before that, they have to submit a ton of paper. They have to submit a video of themselves communicating, like on a Zoom call, to make sure that they can speak clearly. They have to do their typing test, the personality test, their Microsoft Office assessment. So that really helps us get to a good starting point. And then that's where we go. And then Raina and I come at it when we're doing our final interviews. We come at it as, okay, if I was the CEO, would I hire this person to be in my company? Do they fit our culture? Are they a yes, ma'am? Or are they asking clarifying questions? You know, we just try and put them kind of through the ringer, because they are dealing with people that are very high energy and very high expectations. And it's worse for us and worse for the virtual assistant and the client if we have to start over. We want to hit it out of the park up from the beginning. So the biggest thing for us is we do individual targeting for our virtual assistants for the client. And then the next thing we do is we spend 2 weeks training the virtual assistant specifically for the client. So I had a client send over to me their lead gen AR login information. And so we went in and we trained that specific virtual assistant on their lead gen AR. And so then we get them in with the client, and we also do some client training, because a lot of times clients are like, well, I don't even know what to give them. I don't know what to ask for. And, you know, so we spend time on the training with the client, but we're very clear and precise, because we know that that client we probably only have for 30 to an hour, and then they're on to the next thing. So, and then we're doing constant contact, whether it's I checking in with the clients, our team leader checking in with the VAs every day, does a team huddle. So we're really trying to make sure our culture and everyone is as a team. And if someone was to take a leave, our team could scoop in and help that client while their virtual assistant's on leave too. So it's really a team effort for the most part. Yeah.
These virtual assistants overseas or local in the States?
So they are in the Philippines. So we use a couple resources over in the Philippines. We also are looking at expanding into Mexico and into Albania for our virtual assistants. There are certain areas that we are finding that if we go to the Philippines, we can find a lot of marketing virtual assistants, a lot of bookkeeping virtual assistants, a lot of graphic design virtual assistants, Shopify, a lot of Shopify virtual assistants. If you go to Mexico, you're going to find more human resources virtual assistants. I'm finding that there's niches within these countries that we want to make sure that we're targeting and getting.
I thought a CEO's virtual assistants did all of that, like, and wrapped up in one person. That means they have to have a separate concierge for each different activity that they need.
It depends. So I have a client right now who has three. She has one strictly doing her bookkeeping strictly. Then she has one that's helping her marketing director with marketing content creation and graphic design. And then the other one is helping her with like 20%, 50% of it is spent on helping her coordinate her events, because she is an event planner that does workshops and conferences all across the United States. So she's helping her with that. But at the same time, she's helping with the email management, her calendar management. So she's more of a general virtual assistant for this. So we really try and figure out what it is the client's looking for. And so if they want someone like you're talking about, we have those. Okay. But what I'm finding more and more as we've been talking to our clients is they actually want to get a little bit more specific. And one of the things, Ami and I have a good friend, Jody Lee out of Houston. She has been referring physicians. And so all of a sudden we're like, okay, HIPAA compliance and all this. And so we're looking into how we can help these physicians behind the scenes with charting and helping them with their reports. And, you know, how many times do you have to call your physician for your refill permission? So like all those things are bogging physicians down. So is there an opportunity for a virtual assistant behind the scenes to help them? So those are the things that we're trying to do, is to alleviate the stuff that we don't like to do.
There are a lot of people in the space. How are you trying to be different?
Well, I think one of the, for us, the biggest thing is, I mean, it's the training, right? We're spending a lot of training, we spend a lot of money in training. We are making sure that the virtual assistant is completely trained for that particular client. I think as a whole, virtual assistants are onboarded through the company. Like, you need to do this. This is when you need to be on the call. This is what you need to do, da, da, da. And then you're released. And then they're kind of floundering, both the client and the virtual assistant. And so what we're doing is we are on the calls. Our team leader is on the calls just like as a shadow to make sure everything is being asked correctly and making sure that the virtual assistant's walking away from that call to do the task, because they don't want to keep bugging the CEO. That's not the goal. So that in the training and then the assessments and the nitty gritty of drilling down our virtual assistants, I think, for the most part, I think our competitors have buckets and they have virtual assistants that they can go tap, and we don't. We go out and look for specific virtual assistants for specific clients.
I see.
I'm just so fascinated by it all. How do you do quality control? Because they're not all working, if I understand it correctly. It might not be important in the same office. I'm just curious how the business works.
So quality control really comes down to, well, for me, it's the those Microsoft Office assessments are really interesting. If I have any doubt, I ask them to do a project. I ask them to do a task. So for example, I would have them do a standing operate. I would say, can you please do a standing operating procedure, and say it's the client I'm looking for. Can you please do a standing operating procedure on how you're going to onboard your new applicants that are coming in and introducing them to the company when you're remote? Like, because we have some clients that are have their virtual assistants dealing with new employees and like bringing them in for paperwork and bringing them in, but it's all remote. And so I'll ask them to do an SOP, a step-by-step process. And 9 times out of 10, if they've made it to me, they nail the SOP. That's what I'm amazed at, because I am so deficient when it comes to SOPs that I'm just amazed at the amount of work that they put into these and just the thought that goes in. So that for me is a big one, the assessment. And then the personality test is also assessment. I think, you know, there are certain personalities as a virtual assistant that I'm going to stay away from. I'm going to stay away from one like me and one like you, Ami, you know, because I don't like to get in the details. I need someone that's going to deal the details for me. Like, my virtual assistant today was WhatsApping me. She was like, can I help you with something? And I saw your text earlier. And I was like, yes, can you please go in and find out why my Calendly link is not linking to my one calendar because of this? And so she just does it and fixes it. But the other thing is trying to teach our virtual assistants the tone of the client and like what it is and how to be reading into the client's like reaction. So my virtual assistant knows when I'm stressed. She can just tell in the communication when I'm stressed and what she needs to take off my plate. So we're really trying to help train the virtual assistants to take initiative without the CEO or the client feeling like they're pushy or like they're trying to take over.
Are these full-time positions for people or part-time?
So we offer both. We offer part-time 20 hours a week, which is really only 4 hours a day, or full-time 40 hours a week. And it's just the two platforms that we do. We find that it's very hard to manage and very hard to do your task if you're less than 4 hours a day.
It's interesting. I've never done it. I've never gone to shore. I have tons of people and resources here helping me in the office, in front of my nose, and they're part of our culture and they're part of our family. And I know theoretically it could be cheaper offshore. Personally, I've always been chicken to do it.
I get it. I was kind of your way, but you know, it's small, especially when you're doing startups and small businesses and they are wearing every hat in their company, they get bogged down, right? So I just talked to a gentleman today that he says he's missing key things because he's running in circles because he's not being able to keep up with stuff and he's in a startup mode. So to me, that makes, it makes sense. I have people in my office as well. It's just that they have their own task and they're strong at those tasks. And my virtual assistant is strong at the task I need her to do. And that's what I think is key. The other thing for me is I mean, I'm in retail. My businesses are retail, right? And I deal with, you know, 189% turnover every year. So I wanted to really be also in something. I wanted to find something that I could really get my hands in with the employees and really encourage and mold them and help them with their professional and personal development. And I don't have that opportunity in my stores. It's just too fast paced and it turns too much. Whether it's my fault or not, it just turns too much. And I haven't been able to instill that as much as I have been able to instill it with the virtual assistants. We run EOS as well. We run the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which makes a huge difference, I think, too, because we're approaching it as a team.
Got it. Lynn, yeah. What questions should I ask about this that I haven't?
I'm not sure if I have more questions about that. How did you go about choosing a partner that was not your spouse to start yet a third business? I find that to be really interesting.
Yeah. You know, so I know Raina from EO, and she had 9 virtual assistants, and she owns lash salons in Las Vegas, and she had 9, and we were together somewhere, and we were talking about virtual assistants, and we got on this conversation. I was like, I didn't even think about that. And I was like, but this is what mine does for me. And we just started brainstorming. And so that was January of 23. And in March of 23, we came together and we did our VTO for our vision statement for EOS. And we just decided to go. We were both like, let's do it. Like, we both believe in it. We have seen what a difference it has made in our businesses. She is a single mother with 2 children the same age as mine. So she also needed support and help. And it has been great. We are similar in culture index profiles. We are both enterprisers. So, but she approaches things completely different than I do. So there's a lot of things that I have taken from her that I've implemented in all my businesses, not just this business. And that's kind of the reason we both came together, is because we wanted to learn from each other. And I did not want my husband as a partner. I was either going to do it on my own or not do it, you know, or find someone that understood. So for me, it was someone that has the women seat business owner background and had experience with virtual assistants as well. And, mm-hmm. and it saw the difference it makes in our business.
He has nothing to do with. How's that going?
He actually works full time. He is a stock analyst. So he works full time. So at night, when I've been on the phone all day and dealing with employees all day, he wants to have a long conversation about our businesses. And all I want to do is go sit in front of the TV and hang out with my kids. So that doesn't work out so well. But it also, if you read his emails, he needs a virtual assistant to read his emails because he doesn't read his emails.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He'll walk into a store and be like, when did we get this sandwich? When did this cookie launch? I'm like, this cookie and the sandwich launched, you know, 3 months ago. It's almost done. So he's bigger picture. He's you, Ami. He's finance. He wants to, you know, where's the money? And he doesn't care how we're going to get it.
Well, you talked about standard operating procedures. I mean, that's basically what franchises are and why they're successful, is because they do have standard operating procedures. Are you thinking about franchising this business?
No, I don't think so. As a franchise, I'm on 2 extremes. So Jimmy John's is great with standard operating procedures. We initial everything. We have processes. Corporate's very involved. It's awesome. Then I have Fantastic Sam's, who has no systems and procedures. Corporate's not involved. It's a drain and it's a troubled franchise. I started with Fantastic Sam's. If I started with Jimmy John's, I would not be in the Fantastic Sam's because of the lack of support. I have taken those systems and procedures from Jimmy John's and implemented them in the salons, and it has worked in our favor, thank God. But that's part of the reason I wanted to go out and do something on my own too. I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to prove to myself that I am a true entrepreneur, business owner, and not a franchisee, because I do think sometimes franchisees get like, oh, you're not a true business owner. You know, I know this is what I'm telling myself. This would be that imposter.
Well, once you have more than one, you are. I mean, I could go along with that theory if you only ran one store. But once you start having multiple locations, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what.
But you rely on the franchisor to help you grow, and that is not their wheelhouse. I think a lot of people that go into franchises think that the franchisor is really going to help them. They don't. I mean, it took us bringing in an operations manager when we launched Jimmy John's to get us turned around that had been in Jimmy John's other franchisee. So he brought a lot of good things to us, and we learned a lot from him. It wasn't corporate helping me. They were running my profits into the ground because they were like, you need more labor. You need more food. You need more labor. You need more food. I'm like, I need more sales. So that took me a year and a half to get past in this franchise to understand that, okay, the franchisor wants the money and that's pretty much it. Mm. I think a lot of people go into franchises, you know, eyes are not open. They hear what the corporate's saying to them and they love it and they drink the Kool-Aid, which we did with Jimmy John's. We've been in it for 12 years. So for us, we were with Jimmy and now we're with Inspire. So we have the before and the after. So I have both views. But for the people coming in now into the franchise, their view is not as rosy as mine.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
We see, well, through my career, I've seen lots of different franchises. And I guess that they're all different. Some of them are much better than others.
Yeah.
Just like everything else, right?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, if I could easily snap my finger and get out of the salons, I would. I love my team. Don't get me wrong. My team's great. They've been with me for a long time, which is probably why I still own them. Right. But the system in that franchise is in trouble, unfortunately.
Yeah. You said that COVID changed the beauty industry because people had to do their own beauty care for so many months and they just never went back. Just like they don't go back to the office. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So my hair salons are in the state of Illinois. So we were shut down. We were shut down for 3 months in the state of Illinois. And then we went to limited, which was 10 people, including your staff for 3 months. So yeah, I mean, I've seen the trends. I've been in this hair salons for 20 years. So, or 19, but you kind of just see it, right? People are wearing their hair more natural. I had numerous friends stop coloring their hair during COVID and haven't gone back. And now they're like, oh my gosh, I got a raise. I'm not spending the money. And so it really affected it. And also people had to be home with their kids. And all my employees in the hair salon are female. I don't have one male employee right now in the salon, hair salons. And all of them, not all of them, but most of them have children. So then they all had to change their schedule to be home with their children as well. So that is that industry. I mean, if you look at who's doing, for the most part, hairstylists are female. It's a female driven industry. And if they're having to take care of their kids, they're not working.
I see.
So yeah, it definitely changed it.
So that's a big challenge.
It is a very big challenge. The other challenge that happened is, and I was talking about this with a gentleman who had the same issue. I think he was running a pest control kind of business, mm-hmm. but he needed technicians, but they have to be certified. Trade schools in St. Louis and Metro St. Louis have shut down. They're gone. The grants disappeared. And those are the grants that were needed for that level. My hairstylist cannot get grants to go to beauty school. It's $22,000. It's not cheap. So when those grants disappeared, we started seeing the beauty school shut down. We have seen numerous trade schools and tech schools shut down in the St. Louis Metro East. And so it has just it's completely changed. You guys, I'm sure, have talked to people that own, you know, HVAC companies and electric companies and all those trade industries, because we're so short staffed and I think I contribute a lot to the trade schools being gone and the money, the availability of the grants to get into those schools.
Interesting. Mm. As long as you brave between all these businesses, it would give me such agile. I can barely manage one. How do you manage three?
Virtual assistant,
yes.
Tommy.
I have a virtual assistant in each of them. Raina and I have really, at least with the CEO, have really built it so we are very supportive with our team is very supportive of us and vice versa. So we have team meeting, weekly meeting every Monday for an hour and a half. And I'm my WhatsApp blows up a lot, put it that way. And then I have an office staff here that manages it. And then I have a good support system in my stores. But I mean, I've been at it for quite a while. And also knowing that I was going into my presidency, so about a year, well, now 2 years ago, I really started really, really saying to my team at Jimmy John's, I can't come in and close the store anymore. I can't come in and open a shift anymore. I can drive during lunch if I'm free, but you guys cannot count on me to be running the stores. So really worked as a, you know, with everyone to make sure they understood where my priorities are, but where I want to be. So yes, I'm always going to be there for my team and I'm always going to be there for my clients. But at the same time, if someone else is stronger at handling this, the team needs to be going to them and not me. I don't want to be the stopgap for everything. And that's what I was building for the last 2 years. And the virtual assistants completely added that to the next degree that I wasn't expecting. I mean, Bethany probably needs a VA just to handle you.
Oh, you'd be nice.
I'm just kidding. I love it.
Mommy's never around. What? It just makes her life so easy.
Well, that's true too.
She's like, will you go somewhere and not come home for a while? It's going to be interesting. I just added this week, and I've been looking for quite some time. It's a fancy title, but a chief of staff. And it's a different level of support, I think, than a virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody who's hopefully going to sit by my side in my calls and my meetings and help me to, because I'm at the point, I already have someone managing a couple email boxes for me, I have someone managing my calendar for me, and I'm still getting like 800 emails a day. Okay.
Yeah.
And all these demands on my time and pushing and pulling. So chief of staff, really, she's really meant to meet chief of army. Like she's supposed to be my boss. And just for the record, Jana, our company is like 82% female. Okay. So, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah. We get done, don't we?
Yes, you do.
You asked earlier about, I mean, I thrive off of constantly moving forward, right? I fail forward. My husband's like, how come you haven't earned from that mistake? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm making the same mistake every time, but obviously I am. But yeah, I think a chief of staff is great. One of my people in my office would tell you they're my chief of staff, even though that is not her title. But I mean, it's, how any way you can get support as a business owner, you have to get it.
Right.
And that's kind of where the key point I want to make sure that people understand. It's like, you can't do everything. You're going to burn out. If you do everything, you're doing it all half wrong. So it's just allowed me to, I'm a happier person. I'm actually a happier person. I am not constant in frustration mode and I am not in constant running around on a gerbil wheel. Even though it sounds like I probably am, I'm not, because I have the ability now to have the right people in the right spots. And that's what it comes down to.
It's not easy. And I'm really confident, feeling really good about this, about Andrews, who just started. I think it's going to be great. But
yeah,
can you imagine, though, having that position virtually?
You know,
it doesn't mean it's not possible. I know there are people who do it. Probably be a hell of a lot cheaper.
It's definitely cheaper. What I think comes about, why I think, I'm just thinking about one client who has the three. A, she wasn't getting the best work from the people she had in-house. She was paying them a lot, lot, lot more. And so we started with a bookkeeper for her. And it really opened her eyes. And I always try and tell someone, like, let's just baby step into this, please. Let's, you know, this is new for you. Let's start with 20 weeks. We don't have to be full-time. Let's work into it because you're not sure. So it is cheaper, but it's just getting the right people on the right bus, whether it's in person or remotely.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that it's just a fear I'm as of yet able to overcome. Doesn't mean I'm right. I know people do it all the time. I've just never personally been able to overcome that fear yet, right or wrong.
Yeah, so. I bet where you are in your personality. I mean, I've been around you enough to know you're very outgoing and you like to talk to everyone and you like to be around a lot of people and you know, that you get energy off of that. So that makes sense to me a lot.
I get energy of that until I go into my hotel room and collapse out of exhaustion because I'm secretly a functioning introvert. But that's a different story here.
You surround yourself with people that can help you with your energy.
Yeah. Whenever I get off the stage, Jenna, I can like crawl under the stage and pass out of exhaustion for the energy of keeping that room going for however long I keep it going every single time.
Well, that's awesome because I would never know it.
All good in the hood. Jenna, peeps want to find out CEO Concierge. Where do they go?
They go to www.ceoconcierge.com.
Is this a local business or anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world. We actually have a client that splits her time between Switzerland and South Florida and another one that's from Austin to Korea.
Fabulous.
Yeah. It's been fun. It's fun. You know, I don't have corporate, like, no, why aren't your employees not wearing their hats? You know, I mean, it's all me, which is refreshing.
Wish you the best of luck. It was really great talking to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on our show.
Thanks for joining us today on OmniSites. Since 2010, multifunding has helped businesses achieve their biggest growth goals through creative and personalized funding solutions, working with a network of the nation's top lenders. Visit us at multifunding.com, where you can meet our advisory team and learn more about how we help entrepreneurs fund their future.